The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Sunday, and I bet some people get a little into the Super Bowl and show some emotions and things, and I don't know, it just seemed like we were tense in here this morning. I don't think it's any kind of like demonic walls because I was praying that way, but it just, everyone's just kind of tense and uptight. I don't know what it is, but let's just loosen up a little bit, and you know, and get excited about what God wants to do in our lives. And so I don't know what Chris is going to do, but he's just going to loosen us up. You know, we can take our hands out and loosen up a little bit. You know, just, I don't know. Oh, now, come on. And make you feel better, huh? Isn't that cool? They get that all at anthem music playing at the Super Bowl, and people say, ah. So, you know, hey, let's. Okay, yeah, let's go. You up to it? Give us something. Got so many talented people here. Now we just need Leland up here singing that karaoke. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you all. That's sweet. Hallelujah. Pray for Pastor's mom, Carol. Keep her in your prayers. He is home with her this morning. She needs to be better. I think they said earlier, it's great to see Charles here. It's great that you're here. Hallelujah. You know, Pastor said to me yesterday, and I had a lot going on, even had to leave Upwards, and I worked there every week, and I had to leave early, and Tony took over the register for me, and Pastor said, hey, can you have a message tomorrow? And I said, sure. And that messed up my message routine, but that's okay, because that's how the message this week evolved. And it kind of started in our life group a few weeks ago, and we'll get to that, And I think it is for all of us because we make things too complicated. And the first life group that I was involved in, my very first thing that I talked about was life. And that was in 2014. And I said, you know, someone should tell us that when our life starts, we're dying automatically when we're born. It's just a process that we go through to die. And if we would understand and learn that, then maybe we would live life more to the limit and more to the point and place where God wants us to live it. And that's why this morning we're just kind of just having some fun. And I think about when I was a kid, my dad and I, we didn't have much of a relationship. But once a year, we went to Kings Island for a day. And we rode roller coasters. And I liked roller coasters. And there's you know, your new fancy roller coasters that are real smooth and on steel tracks. And when I was a kid, there wasn't as many of those. And then there's the old school wooden roller coasters. And the Kings Island, the Beast, I remember when it opened, and the Beast roller coaster, and my dad and I waited in line, and we waited and waited and waited and rode that roller coaster. And at the time, it was the largest, fastest, longest wooden coaster in the world. Maybe still is, I don't know. And I just remember how much I loved it. And so that was a good memory I have with my dad. So I hang on to the few good ones I have, and that's what I try to stick with, the good ones. Well, my son, for those of you that know him, he's very to himself, very introverted, not very outgoing, but he loves roller coasters. And I'm like, all right. So he loves these roller coasters. And so we go to Kings Island and we ride the new one, you know, the Diamondback, and it's real slick and smooth and all this. And the first time we went, the Beast was broke down. And the second time we went to Kings Island, it was open, and there was no one in line. And so we rode that Beast. And the Beast is old school. I mean, it's all made out of wood, and it was never painted to look like an old mining area. So it was just pressure-treated timber, so it looks all kind of rotted out, and the tracks look slatted. And it's made to look like it's fallen apart. And you get on the thing, you know, you go up that hill on those ones, and they go click, click. They're not like these new fancy ones. You're going up that hill, and it click, click, click. And then it stops for a minute. I think they do that on purpose. And you stop and get a little backwards jerk. And are we going backwards? No. And then you keep going. And you break over that hill, and you take off. And so the first time we rode the Beast, I'm not a kid anymore, and it jars you and jerks you and just, wow, it just beats you to pieces. And when we got done, my son is like, I love it. This is my favorite roller coaster. But to me, that's neat because that was a memory I had with my dad. And now my son's like, I love the Beast. So there's no line. And so we keep getting back on, you know. And I remember after my 10th ride on the Beast, my head hurt so bad. I said, son, I can't do it anymore. I can't. I'll wait on you and you can ride it. And he said, Dad, I'm not going to ride without you. And I said, okay. Man, that time we got on, I remember that car in front of us, it's all bolted together in their little cars. And there is a big guy in it like me. And that car had two bolts in the side. And so the inside of his seat was just doing this in front of me. And I'm thinking like, I'm glad I'm not that guy. It's bad enough back here. And so I kept on doing it, but you get that jerking, shaking adrenaline rush, and it was just great. And when I think about roller coasters, you know, they're so quick. I forget how many miles long that one is, and it's over in just a matter of a few minutes. And that's kind of like us. It's kind of like our life. It's like, wow, we knew that our life was going to end, but things are happening so quick. Trish and I had big plans on our 20th wedding anniversary. We were going to go to Hawaii. And it's like, I think we went to McDonald's. I mean, it's like, how is it here already? So, you know, we find out that that roller coaster flashes and goes so quick. Our lives on earth are like that. They're just temporal and finite and just they're here and then they're almost not here, and then they're not here. And so we have to face that truth about life so we can live that life as we know it here is going to end. But if we accept that, then we can learn how to truly be free. And if we're believers, we can really learn how to be free. So instead of letting our mortality limit us, we can use it to become who we were made to become. That's why you hear stories of people when they go through a life-threatening situation or a life-altering accident or something, that everything changes because they realize their mortality and they get a renewed vigor for what they do have. But we always think, like me going to Hawaii for our 20th anniversary. That's how we think of things. We think, well, someday we'll do this. Someday I'll be able to do that. You know, someday I'll really go for what I want to do. Someday when I retire, you know, someday when I get my act together, someday when I quit this habit, you know, I will get involved in church someday. Someday when I have more money, then I'll have more time, and then I can be more spiritual. And someday things are going to work different so I can spend time reading the Bible. And someday. And then we look back and say, wow, someday, one day, when, if, and then we're at the end. So this is your life right here today, right now, where you're at, what you're feeling. You might have liked the guitar riff. You might not have liked it. You might have liked the, I don't know what you call that on the piano, but that was awesome. Is that a, you might have liked that. You might not have liked it. You know what? You might like when I share a message, you might not like it. Something you need to understand, that I will probably never, ever meet your expectations, and Otis will probably never meet your expectations, but, you know, you won't meet my expectations either. So we get that out of the way. Well. It's like your pastor. It's like, well, I expected Pastor to do this, and I wanted Pastor Rob to do that. And well, guess what? He is not going to meet your expectations. But I know you don't meet his. So, so that's the introduction, and the rest will be short, but about Jesus, that's the introduction, so we can see that our life is temporal and finite, and we got to do something, but what do we got to do? With church, you ever notice with church, you know, after a while, people come for a while, and then it just kind of gets mundane and routine, and we know how it goes. We know Joy's going to do announcements, and we know me or Leland's going to do the offering, and we've heard Otis do that song before, and we just know, and then we know when Pastor's going to get up there, and we know Dave's going to roll this pulpit over here, and it just gets all so routine. And so we go looking for something different because we're just tired of that routine. It gets boring to us. But what if, just what if Jesus might do a work or a miracle or a manifestation if you tarry with him a little bit? Just what if?
Come on, sir. Come on, sir. That's right.
When Jesus started teaching, the crowds always thinned down. But the ones that tarried, the ones that stayed, they really got something. But we're in such a hurry to do the next thing. We're in such a hurry to do the next encounter. We're in such a hurry to find the next thing that everyone else is doing. It tickles me with Facebook, and I'm not on it. And I'll hear about things that's just going on with every the fad that's going on with everyone about buying this or doing this. It's like, what is that? Well, it's all over Facebook. It's what? So, but we just got to do that next fun thing, the next. We're in such a hurry to do that. But what if we got in a hurry? And here's the message. What if we got in a hurry to be with Jesus? Because we're in a hurry to do everything else. Why do we make Christianity about going to church and all the church stuff, but where does the master fit in Christianity? It's always about all the stuff. And it's like right now, look, ask yourself this, what's going on in your mind? You're saying, well, I wish Pastor was preaching and not Eddie. I wonder when Tammy's coming home. She's in Florida. Florida. She's in Texas. See? She's in Texas. I've been keeping up. I'm on the Facebook. I'm not. Boy, worship was good. No, worship was bad. How long's he going to be up there? Who all's coming over for the game? What are we going to have for lunch? Do I need to go to the store today? Man, it's cold in here today. No, it's hot in here today. I wonder where such and such is. All these things going through your mind. But it's Jesus time, right? I mean, my mind right now is telling me there's all kind of people going in and out the door. So what's going on?
That's right.
You stand in front of a lot of people and all kind of people moving around and try to keep on. Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's right.
We all got stuff going through our minds. Sitting there thinking, man, that Chris Deemer's handsome. I know some of you thinking that. So, next week, what do I have to do next week? Oh, golly. What are the kids doing next week? And your schedule's going through your mind. And the list goes on and on and on. I sit in the front. And I do that so I don't have to see everyone else. Because it causes my mind to do all kind of stuff. I don't sit there to say I sat in the row where my pastor sits. I sit there so I don't have to see all of you. Because I want to not be distracted. I see you out there. I want to sit here and think about Jesus. Don't hate me. So that eliminates my distractions. And then this is funny, because this is from a female's point of view. My wife's like, you know, we sit in the front, everyone's looking at us. You ladies know that. I said, I don't care. Everyone can see us. That's the point. I can't see them. So we all have different things we like, though, right? So let's get to a scripture. Miss Tina, Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Now, this came up at Life Group. I think it's so pertinent. We got our new Life Group books, and our group never quit. We just kept on going. So we started in the book a couple weeks ago, and I went all through the book, and I prayed, and I picked out where I wanted to start. And where I wanted to start, Tony Maxey, God gave him, and the scripture for that teaching. The whole teaching has nothing to do with the scripture that's at the top. But the scripture for that teaching, Tony received that day from God. And God started talking to him about that scripture, the people in it, Mary and Martha. And he came to me and he said, how did you pick this? Is it just in order? I said, no, I showed him where I got it out of the book. And so we talked about that again Wednesday, and I've just been thinking about it, and I think it's pertinent that we need to share a little bit about it. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Do you have that in the Message Bible? Or I got it here. Is it up there? Oh, okay. Now we're talking about a couple ladies named Mary and Martha. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered, we're talking about Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him in her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So Jesus and the disciples were heading to Jerusalem. This is about 4 months or so prior to the crucifixion. And they came to this village, and he has all the disciples and whoever else may have traveled with them. And Martha knew who he was. She was a believer, and Mary was a believer. And they had a brother named Lazarus. Lazarus, he was a believer. And they said, hey, you guys, the whole party, you just come to our house and stay. Martha said, I want to give you some R&R, and I want to cook you a good meal and give you a nice place to sleep. So one, she had some food in her house, and she had a house, a place for them all to fit and stay. Now think about someone coming in here this morning, and a guest speaker who has four kids and a wife, and say, pastor says, hey, Terry, they're going to your house today. You cook their lunch and give them somewhere to stay. We had family come in out of town, a nephew and his wife and their two kids, which they're the greatest house guests in the world. But we spent 2 days, you know, cleaning, getting ready, do this, do that, have their beds made up. We took a couple days. They come to town. Martha didn't see on the Facebook they were coming, but she saw them then and said, hey, come on over. So she had all this stuff to get ready. It's like overwhelming. But she opened her home up. Now they lived at, the house was in Bethany, which was just a few miles or so from Jerusalem. And Martha just wanted to give Jesus a fantastic stay. You know, having company is a lot of work. So Martha was working and doing everything possible to accommodate this large group of people. And Mary was not helping. Men, when your wife's doing a bunch of stuff and you're watching TV, Mary wasn't helping. So Martha got so frustrated. Verse 40, put that back up there. Verse 40 said, Martha got so frustrated, she didn't say something to Mary. She went straight to Jesus. She said, Master Jesus, don't you care that my sister is making me do everything? Tell her to help me. She was mad and went to Jesus and said, do something about this. What's your days consist of? Oh. We work hard to provide for our family, don't we? Well, we do housework, we do yard work, we run errands, we grocery shop, we cook breakfast, lunch, dinner, we pack lunch for the kids, we get the kids' clothes out, we do laundry, we clean the house, we pay the bills, we shuttle the kids to ball practice, to traveling games, to music practice, to dance practice, to guitar lessons, to swimming lessons, to cross country, to track, to motorsports, to 4-H, and the list goes on and on and on. We try to squeeze in a date night with our significant other somewhere. We got to try to schedule it in to do it. We visit our neighbors. We heard there had been something wrong with them. We try to make it a point to stop and say, hey, and we stay in touch with family and friends on telephone and via text. And oh, golly, Nez. And then that's not even talking about the work at church. And we're always hearing, oh, you need to do this, and you need to volunteer, and you need to help, and you need to, and we need, and you, and And then we come here, and even while driving, you know, we're driving, and there's people that text, there's people that read, there's people that talk on their phone, there's men that shave, there's women that put makeup on. This is when we're driving. It's just, we never slow down. And then all the stuff that's going on here that we're thinking about, it's like, we got to get the prayer room done. The cave for the kids is not done. We got a furnace that we just put in that needs some more work. We got another furnace that's totally broke that's got to go in. We got big holes out front. And some people say, I don't even know what's going on there. They got all these holes out there. And the hall needs painted, and there's the cafe is started and not finished, and the kitchen, they want to put countertops on. I can just keep going on here, and these carpets that are supposed to be clean, the front room for the kids, we got to peel the stuff off the walls because it needs painted, and this room back here needs all the labeling on, and you just keep, it's like, gee whiz. This is our lives. So we're missing this here somewhere. We're missing something. Much of this is necessary and even pleasing to God, but it distracts us from the most important thing in your life. The one thing that everyone in here needs, the one thing you need now. We're starting this year, and people always say, I want the year to be better. I want it to be different. I want it to be the best it can be. And we cram all this stuff in, but we're missing something. And then we come to church and turn on Christian radio, and we're always hearing stuff about everything we need to be doing, and we hear all these messages on everything that we're doing wrong, and we just gotta be repenting all the time, and it's like sometimes you just feel like you're living in the Old Testament. It's like I can't even walk out my door. I'm doing something wrong. There's one answer for everyone in here. You have to spend time with Jesus. That's this whole message. I usually get here on Sundays at 9, and I came in late today because I get here early because there's things to do and people need things and questions and so on and so forth. I came in late today, late for me, because I didn't want all that stuff. I just want to be thinking about Jesus today. Having a service is a lot of work for a lot of people. And we've got to do a lot of things to make it happen. And sometimes it can end up not being about Jesus. You being here today or any time should always be just about Jesus. John chapter 11, verse 17 through 20 out of the Message Bible. And see, this is what's going to happen to you today. You're going to get it. See, we hear this story about Martha so much, but we don't hear the second part of the story. John chapter 11, verse 17 says, this is when Jesus got word and was going to see Lazarus, who was dead, which, remember, was Mary and Martha's brother. You all know the story of Lazarus. So starting with verse 17, when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. So Jesus isn't where Lazarus is at. Verse 19 says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So what happens when someone passes? People come to your house and comfort you. They bring you food, they talk, they just visit, they try to help you grieve. So they're with them. They have company. Mary and Martha have company at their place. Then Martha, I love it. I love it. Then Martha, not Mary, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. Mary stayed in the house. Martha got it. Martha ran out to meet Jesus. And I want us to get it. Because Pastor Otis can't answer for me, and Miss Terry can't answer for me, and Paul can't answer for me. My wife can't answer for me. I can make every person in here happy and do every single thing you want me to do and try to meet all your expectations. But if I don't spend time with Jesus, it's all no good. Jesus was coming, and Martha ran to see Jesus. Our lives have to reach a point where spending time with Jesus is more important than lots of other stuff. And you know, maybe some stuff, see, we don't want to hear this, but maybe some stuff that we're doing in the kingdom, maybe we ought to put aside to just be spending time with Jesus. If every person in here wanted to volunteer and do things here at Bethel, that would be fantastic. And we could keep every person in here so busy doing good stuff. But if you don't spend time with Jesus, see, we've built this Christianity model in America. And sometimes I just feel like Jesus is pushed out of it. And for it all to work, for it all to keep functioning and going, we got to keep all this going. But we got to keep Jesus in the picture. If I get this right, Tony said he was driving down the road and the Lord started showing him about Martha and Mary. And everything in life going on, but it has to be about Jesus. Your life's got to be you and Jesus, Danny, not you and Bethel Worship Center, although I love that you're here. I love that I'm here. I believe in this place and everything this place is doing to help advance the kingdom. But your life is about you and Jesus. Your walk is you and Jesus. And being here on Sunday is not just so, I went Sunday, so that was me and Jesus' time. No, you and Jesus' time is you and Jesus. It's like, I'm just glancing at ages here real quick. It's like you and your spouse. It's like you want to have some you time, so you go out and have Mexican. You want to be intimate, so you went and have Mexican. Well, there's some differences there, isn't there? My wife loves Mexican, but that's not our intimate time eating Mexican. You see the difference? Working upwards is not you and Jesus' time. You've got to realize that above all things, your relationship, your fellowship, your time spent with Father God is what matters. That's why the message to ask for a title, and I just said Jesus. When we spend time with it, you know, we can We talk to God, we share, we visit. Wow. If you want your life to become better, you have to realize how valuable your time with Father God is. That's what will create you to become the person God intended you to become. Your time with Him. We get so caught up in how we think our walk is supposed to be, and so caught up in different teachings and different things we believe, and we're just missing out on time with Jesus. So the word says, how are you an overcomer? Well, by the blood of the Lamb, which you don't control, and the word of your testimony. The blood of the Lamb is Jesus. How do you become a Christian? You ask Jesus into your life. You ask Jesus to forgive you, right? It's Jesus, man. And sometimes we make it so complicated. We got to keep Jesus at the forefront. And I believe that's something that a lot of people are lacking. I believe that's something a lot of people in this house are lacking. We got great stuff. We're doing great things. Let's just have Jesus first. Me and Jesus, man. But see, it goes against what we think, because Siva calls me and says, hey, man, me and Billy are broke down. Can you come give us a ride? What would they think of me if I said, no, I'm having lunch with Jesus. Let that register. No, it's my time with Jesus. Can you call anybody else? And I know what they would say. They'd say, hey, just bring Jesus with you. He can help. But you see what the illustration was for? It's like, no, it's just me and Jesus. It's that important. You got a date night with your wife, and you do your best not to cancel unless a crazy emergency comes up, because you got a date night with the wife. But it's that easy for us to put Jesus, because he's always there waiting, and do everything else. I'll get to him someday. Someday I'll get to spend time with Jesus. Someday when things change, someday I'll spend time with Jesus. I got to get the preschool classroom painted right now, but someday I'll spend time with Jesus. And then the ride's over and our someday's about at the end, and we're like, oh my, I had all this time and I didn't spend any of it with Jesus. This is the church. There's a preacher, and he liked to say this, He said, and I think of the church sometimes with this, but he said, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, and Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. And he said, why are they calling on the king's horses and the king's men? Why didn't they call on the king? We got to start calling on the King. Amen. I was at worship practice for 2 hours, and Otis Nivey taught us 3 new songs, and so I don't have time to spend with Jesus now. Whew, that wore me out. That was that. Is anybody getting it? Yes. We want to see people healed, saved, delivered, and set free. We talk about it. We preach about it. We sing about it. We want what God has for us. We want to see revival. We believe for healing. You know, we're Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, powerful men and women of God. But we're not seeing any of that stuff. Because where's Jesus at in your life? So I'll close with this. Don't spend another year, another month, another week, another day. Don't spend another hour. Don't spend another minute not finding a place in your life to put Jesus, our Father God, first. Because if the people in here today would do that, do you know the impact you will have? Do you know how your life will change? Do you know the things you'll see? Do you know the things this house will see? If we figure out how to keep Jesus first in our life, if we figure out when all this craziness is going on around us that we call life, we can still be a Mary and get down at Jesus' feet and forget about everything else. You know, sometimes we cry out, and there's nothing wrong with prayer, but we're crying out, we need prayer, we need prayer, we need prayer, I need prayer, this needs prayer, and praise God with, I know I've been razzing about technology and social media and all that, but praise God, you know, the click of a button, you can have 100 people praying for you. That's a great thing. Most of us need this, need that, pray, pray, pray. But did you ever think, I'm not saying don't pray, but did you ever think maybe you just need to get down at the feet of Jesus and spend some time with him and you don't have to find 100 people to pray for you? Maybe you just need to spend some time with Jesus. It's Jesus. Guys and girls, it's Jesus that you can spend time with. And you're worrying about calling Pastor Rob to pray for you. You got Jesus. We got to realize that. Oh, if they would just lay hands, if they would give me a word. So we get another prophet coming. Oh, I'm going to get a word. You got Jesus. He gave Tony a word last week. He said, hey, man, it's Martha and Mary. It's got to be about me. That's a word for this house. That's where this message originated right there, Tony. God told him. And he's welcome to come up here and share the message today, but I don't think he'd want to. So he told me, so now I'm sharing. How do you get a word? Jesus. Wow. It's hard for us to realize it's really this simple. Are you hearing that? There's, this is cool. Right now, there's some people that Jesus is talking to you right now. Isn't that neat? Wow. We're just listening. We're not doing a bunch of things. We're just listening. Ask him what he has for you today. Let him show you how to put him first. Because I don't want my roller coaster ride to come to an end and sit back and say to myself, I didn't put him first. I read a word that the Lord gave me just this week, and he gave it to me a few years ago. And one of the things he said for me to do, and I work at it, but when I read it again, it reminded me I'm not doing it well. But it said, every day pray over my wife and son. And every day read the word to them. And I haven't been doing that reading the word part to them. And that's what God told me to do. I want to put him first, so I have to start doing it. If that means turning my phone off in the evening, I'll turn my phone off. Hallelujah. You know, I feel like just asking before we close. Strange ending, huh? But does anyone have anything they want to share?
You know, here it was just before Christmas. I shared this with the pastor. The Lord, I was sitting back here in worship, or standing actually in worship back there, and God was dealing with my heart about, you know, everybody has time in their schedules, but for me, they've got time for this, they got time for that. If they have time for me, it's the very last thing of their day, or they don't have time at all. So I just want to bring that out with what Pastor Eddie is teaching here, or preaching here this morning. He is calling us back to a walk with him. He says to seek him early. And I've designed, and it's not that I'm a great spiritual person or anything like that. I try to be as close as I can to the Lord, but he has laid on my heart to get up early and to seek him for my day. You know, it's kind of hard to seek the Lord for your day at the end of the day. You know, it just don't kind of jive, you know? So, but that's something that God has laid on my heart, and I practiced it for years. I get up, I get into God's word, I pray, and I seek his will. And I go into the day, even though all kinds of things are, and when you're in business, as Dan can tell you, and different other ones that's in business, you have all kinds of things that go disarray. But I have a peace because I've sought Jesus, and he immediately gives me the wisdom of how to handle it. And I challenge each and every one of you here this morning to get up a little bit early, read the word, and to seek the Lord before you do anything else, and see if things don't change in your life. I think you'll have more peace, you'll have more joy, and you'll just be amazed at how he'll minister to you.
I don't know how many of you guys have seen the movie War Room, but I won't go into it. God has been laying on my heart lately to just get into this room, make a closet, something, to pray and to spend time with him daily, because being a high school senior, it's really not easy to find time for God. Maybe that's just because I think that all of these other things are important, but we're constantly fighting to get through all of these things in our lives, but we're not asking the one person that should be fighting for us to do it. And God's been laying that on my heart lately to ask me, I will fight these things for you. You're not alone, and you don't need to do these things alone because I haven't asked you to do that.
Thank you.
I want to tell you that no matter what you're going through, no matter what you need, God will meet you where you're at. God has healed me. This is a testimony for Him. Many times when I had my first baby, they say that you never have, would have a baby. I have two. God has healed my heart from being this big to this big. I have to tell you that if you stand for God, nothing can come against you. If God be for you, who can be against you? No one. Absolutely no one. So if you're going through something, just give it to Jesus, because He will handle the situation and turn it around for your and His best interest.
Anybody else? Some good words. Don't be afraid.
The awesome thing about Jesus is that He forgives you if you happen to fail and not create time or whatever. If you mess up once, He's not gonna beat you. He's gonna forgive you, and you can continue on. And He loves you more than anyone or anything ever could. So yeah.
I'm gonna give you the microphone, but I know you don't need it, Jerry, but I'm gonna give it to you. I just wanna get you on the tape.
I enjoyed Brother Eddie's message this morning, and I've enjoyed the Spirit of the Lord. Praise God. And when they're singing certain songs, I just felt the power of the Holy Spirit, just like honey, coming down over my head and through my mouth and all over me. And I'm thankful for that presence of the Lord. And just a few minutes ago, when everyone was telling different situations, we need to keep Jesus first in our lives. And there's a song that says, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Then it says, I'm finding more power than I've ever dreamed by learning to lean on Jesus. I say glory, hallelujah. I'm glad for Jesus. Praise His holy name. Bless your heart, Brother Eddie. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I just want to kind of give a little testimony about what God did for me this weekend. I had a situation with the home that I left when I married Todd, and it was something that had to be dealt with. And I sent Ivy a text and I said, you know, I have to deal with the situation tomorrow and it's not a good one. Could you guys pray? And I went into the prison that evening while Todd went to worship practice, and they had prayer for us at the worship practice too. And I want to tell you what God did when they heard I was coming to visit. That's all it took, was to hear I was coming. And I can remember praying, God, I know You always move when we pray. And I said, you know, when I step out to do what's right, You take care of it no matter what the mess is, you know, and I'm doing what's right in the situation, and I need Your help. And all it took was them hearing that I was coming. And before I even got there, the situation was taken care of and I didn't even have to deal with it. That's what God does. He's such a good God.
Hallelujah. Anyone else before we close? Anyone would like prayer for anything after service, you come up front. We'll pray for you, believe with you, add our faith to your faith. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this morning. Lord, I ask that you speak to each and every person here, Lord, when they seek you and need to hear your voice, that you'll speak to their hearts, you'll share with them, you'll show them things, you'll just unveil your hidden mysteries to them, Father God, that their relationships can draw so close and so strong with you, Lord Jesus, that they'll know through you how to become and stay overcomers, Father. I thank you for this body and this house and the believers that are here. I thank you that I feel like this is a true Christian family, Father God. I thank you for that. And I know that there's obstacles and challenges and walls that people here today are facing. And I extend my faith and my belief towards those situations, Father God, so they can be overcomers, so they can continue to stand on their word. I speak to discouragement, despair, in the name of Jesus, that it has to leave. I speak life and health and freedom and blessings to everyone in this house in the name of Jesus. And we lift up Carol to you, Father God. We extend our faith. We believe above all things you want us to prosper and to be in health. And we speak health and life and strength and stamina to Carol in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you. Amen. You are dismissed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Worship Center. I hope you enjoyed this message from one of our anointed visiting speakers. Please visit our website to learn more about our ministry at bethelwc.org. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ.